Jeff, let's say somebody wanted to get early episodes of the show. Is that possible?
It is so possible!
If people wanted to get bonus episodes of the show, is that possible?
We got those too!
If people wanted to get like extra stuff, like video hangouts with us and other fans of the show, is that possible?
Dude, I'm telling you, all of that and more is possible. All they gotta do is support the show.
How do they do that?
Go to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns, find out all the information you need, and help us continue to make this show.
Be responsible, remember to compost! Lamest ghost dad. And I'm including the Bill Cosby one.
Yeah, that's
and he's a rapist.
This is lamer than a rapist.
This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
Oh, man. You know this information age of ours, Anthony? A lot of...
Oh, tell me about it, Dad. Explain the internet in terms that you understand, Dad.
Oh, well... Well, this email. Have you heard of this email?
I got this thing in the email the other day that...
it really surprised
me. Nigerian prince.
Have you heard of this prince?
Have you heard of this prince? I also got something about... I saw something about the evils of democracy and liberals.
Yeah, they're the libtards.
The cartoons that I get about the libtards. Oh, the hilarity of
them. There's a lot of right wing artistry. I'll just say that. A lot of cartoonists.
There's a lot of right wing people with drawing pens. I'll give you that. Political cartoons are garbage anyway.
That's true.
It's just like you draw a picture of a trash can and then you write like Libya on it.
Yeah.
And then and then you have two guys with monocles looking over it like depressed and you're like, political cartoon.
I love the political cartoons from like the 18th century where
literally everything is labeled.
Yeah, it's like all text with just a cartoon man standing there. You know,
it's literally
like,
four paragraphs of text.
Yeah.
And then every single element is labeled. And it's like, okay, I understand symbolism. Can we move on?
Yeah.
But tell me about the information age.
Oh,
Dad.
So I think a lot of people of our generation, of our ilk, you know, we kind of look down on the snail mail. Snail mail, especially when, you know, every year the stamp prices go up.
We look down on the snail mail, but we all love Amazon Prime.
Well, we love that Amazon Prime. And they use the U.S. Postal Service to deliver a lot of that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, even when your price of a stamp goes up a couple of pennies every other month, it's still a remarkable thing that you can write something on a piece of paper and put 42 cents on it, and it will go anywhere you want it to. That's an amazing thing.
My head immediately turns into one of those 1950s or 60s educational films where, like, the happy postman picks it up, and like, it goes through multiple, like, conveyor belts and machines and planes, and everything's a montage, and then it shows up at, like, grandma's house, and you're like, oh!
Yeah.
A postcard from Johnny!
I mean, that's a remarkable achievement that we as human beings have created a system where it's that inexpensive to send a physical object.
It's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
It's kind of nuts. It's one of the reasons why I actually like, this is going to sound like a fucking plug, but it's not a fucking plug. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy the secret mail level of our Patreon.
Right.
Because like sending physical things to people, I'm just like, holy shit, I'm sending this to Bahrain.
Yeah.
Somebody in Bahrain is going to get this in a week and open it up and be like, Anthony sent me a thing. What?
And all because they went to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.
That's true. Anyway. but it is cool.
This is an article that was posted on our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/wehaveconcerns.
Nailed it.
Thank you. It only took me 400 episodes. This was sent to us or posted by Amanda Kennedy Nori. Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, Amanda.
She wrote us a message about the history of the Postal Service. And in fact, a very specific part of the Postal Service's history.
I think I saw a post about the Postal Service and immediately fell asleep.
No, this is pretty interesting stuff, man.
Oh, okay.
In the 19th century, in 1913, the Post Office, United States Post Office, started a new program called Parcel Post, which dramatically expanded the reach of the Post Office into rural areas where it hadn't previously been available. So,
okay.
All of these people that were kind of isolated and didn't have the ability to use the post office and send packages the way that urban dwellers did. Now, all of a sudden, with a snap of a finger, on January 1st, they could do that. And it changed, it really changed the country in a very profound way.
It was huge. I mean, it was connectivity.
Right.
It was connectivity in a way that they had never had before.
Right. Well, this article highlights one use of that connectivity that you may not have thought about, but it turns out people in very isolated rural parts of the country, travel is expensive, especially travel for your kids.
Sure.
So a remarkable number of times in history around this time, parents decided to mail their children.
No.
Mail their children.
They decided to, but it didn't work. It never happened. They would never, it does not work.
Again and again and again, it happened. People mailed their kids through the U.S. Post, and they were delivered.
Surely not.
Their kids were delivered.
Wow.
So
what do? You put them in a wooden crate. You drill a few holes.
Yeah.
Fragile, first born inside. Fragile,
exactly.
heir to the estate.
Inside. Yeah.
Inside. You give the kid
this end up.
Yeah. You give the kid what? Like a canteen and some.
A can opener and a can of bean.
Yeah.
And
can of one bean, because remember. We were still going through some hard times.
We only had one bean at a time back then.
And hobos would slice them into four or five different slices around a fire.
Real slowly.
Yeah.
So here's one example.
No, but no, though.
Just a few
How much did it cost?
Well, I'll get to that. Just a few weeks after Parcel Post began, an Ohio couple named Jesse and Matilda Beagle
mailed the Beagle Boys?
The Beagle Boys. That's how they started their crime spree.
Yeah. Ma Beagle mailed the Beagle Boys. Okay.
They mailed their 8-month-old son, James.
No!
To his grandmother.
James, no!
So, I now have a 9-month-old son, and I know what an 8-month-old son
is
capable
break.
Of and not capable of.
That's gonna break a bit, and it can't eat on its own, and it's like, how do you set, like, I would love to see a cross-section of this, because in order for it to work... I mean, what? It's got to be really padded. How far away is grandma? There's got to be like a feeding and like a drinking system, like various tubes. Like, there's no way. There's no way that baby survives.
I think this just points to how much hardier Americans were back then.
How from That's Ohio just, to where? Where was grandma?
They said it was only a few miles away. So it wasn't a
huge
trip.
Oh my God, that's laziness though.
Just put him on the back of the
wagon. Put the kid on the wagon.
Yeah. Well, but this, listen to how reasonable this was. It only cost them 15 cents in postage.
Oh, that's worth it, then.
Although they did insure it.
How much was 15 cents then?
I think it was like $150,000.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's
it's a lot.
Wait, what year was this?
1913.
Okay. So, you keep going, but I'm going to try to find out.
According to the newspaper article on it at the time, the package was well wrapped and ready for mailing when the carrier got it, and it just missed the cutoff. It just hit the 11-pound cutoff for what would cost 15 cents. So luckily, they probably starved little James for a while to make sure he hit weight. You know,
like a
prize fighter. Like, we gotta be able to make sure you can get to grandma's house. He can't be more than 11 pounds.
The amount of prep that it took to do this, you just put the kid on the wagon. You walk the kid there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So he delivered, or the postman delivered him safely to the address on the card attached. And that was the grandmother, Miss Louisa Beagle. The postage was 15 cents and was insured for $50. So if the kid dies, they get $50 back, which is a pretty good deal.
I mean, that's a good roll of the dice.
Yeah.
So 15 cents in 1914 is $3.67 today. So
That's not bad at all.
That's not bad. Then the $50 is $1,223. So inexpensive post, undervalued the kid, I think.
$1,200 for the kid?
Undervalued the
That's
kid.
That's pretty low, man.
But I have to...
And James's whole life tried to deal
this.
With that.
Here's why I think this worked back in 1914.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of stuff was being mailed. The postman, when he picks up a box, like, the postman knows everything he's holding.
Right.
It's not like now where there's a mail truck full of, like, thousands of things.
Right.
Or the biggest most successful movie of all time, The Postman.
Right,
with
Kevin Costner.
Where he has a bag of mail and he has to travel around the entire world.
Isn't he in the post-apocalypse?
He's in the post-apocalypse.
Right.
So it's not like either of those situations.
Right.
Right? It's not a harrowing, terrible situation to deliver the mail. It's also not this totally automated thousands of things. So here's what's up. When you pick up a baby, you hand, you know, Mrs. Beagle hands you a box and says, my baby's in here. Be careful with it.
You're what
you
now?
You literally hold it and you go, shit, okay.
Yeah.
And then the rules are so new.
Do you like alter your route after that? Do you deliver baby
deliver
first?
Deliver the baby first? Probably.
I mean, but you got your whole day was all set.
But also, does the baby have to go through the central post office? How does parcel post work in that day and age? Does he have to take it to the town post office,
get
the postage stamped and canceled, and then take it back out?
That's a great question.
Like, how does that all work? Because, like, but I think things were so not automated. Things were so done by hand. Things were so simple then that literally, if you hand the postman a box and it's like, my baby's in here, he goes, fuck, well, I guess I'm delivering a baby. I don't know. There's nothing in the rules that say a dog can't play basketball.
Like, exactly.
We haven't planned for this.
Yeah, this is the Air Bud of the mail service.
I guess I'm taking your baby down the road. I was going that way anyway.
Yeah, it's my job. And my job is kind of undefined at this point,
yeah,
so here we go.
Like, this is all very new.
This is not the first and only time, Anthony. There are many other stories. In fact, in February 19th, 1914, a four-year-old girl named Charlotte May was mailed via train from her home in Idaho to her grandparents' house 73 miles away.
On a train?
On a train.
That's a day.
Yeah.
That's a day's trip.
Yeah.
But did she also have to go, this is my question about this. Does she have to go through a central post office? Was she, what was her name?
Charlotte May.
Was Charlotte May picked up, brought to a post office, sat in the post office for a little while she was sorted.
Yeah.
Then brought to the train, then brought to the post office in her grandparents' town, and then sorted. And then her grandparents had to come pick her up because it was a very large box.
Well,
like, that's what I wanted to know.
You could probably find out the answers to all of that because her story made it into a famous children's book of the day called Mailing May. I don't know if this is all just a publicity stunt for her parents, like, her children's book aspirations. You never know if it could have just been that. Also, June 14th, 1913, several newspapers, including the Washington Post, New York Times, and LA Times, all ran stories stating that the postmaster had officially decreed children can no longer be sent through the mail. This is getting to be a problem.
If there isn't a rule about it, it just goes to judgment, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't say, hey, you can't mail a baby.
Right.
Someone's going to try to mail a baby.
Well, guess what happened, Anthony?
What?
When the Washington Post, New York Times, and LA Times all ran stories saying, parents, please don't mail your babies, there was a huge uptick in mailing of babies.
Because nobody had thought. Because
they
hadn't
like,
thought about it.
This is a great idea. We could do this?
They were like, okay, starting next month, we are no longer allowing the mailing of children. Wait a minute.
Whoa.
Oh, that's brilliant.
We're such suckers. We've been putting the kid on the train.
We got to mail as many kids as possible before this month is up.
Do you know how much it costs to put a kid on an actual train?
Ooh, too much.
Oh, so much. More than 15 cents, I'll tell you that right now. How is that? How awesome is that? That people just were like, this is a great idea.
Man.
Honey, you never believe what I read in the newspaper today.
What's that?
It says that people have been mailing their children away from them.
Charles, that is horrible. I can't believe we never thought about this.
Gertrude, why don't you gather the kids together?
Children, all 17
mama?
Of you.
Yes, mama, papa.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Mama, papa.
I have a limp. Well, it is. It's 1914.
Everybody has their own.
We have limps. We have polio. We have all kinds of things.
You only have one eye.
Just come this way. Come this way. Listen. We want you all to be able to see this great country of ours.
That's right. We don't have the means or really the patience to bring all of you around and see this glorious country through the hole in a box.
I can only remember half your names on a good day, really. I'm not putting you all in a train and taking you somewhere.
Yeah, but the too many of you have the same limp. It's really hard to differentiate you.
It's supposed to be a defining characteristic. You know, you read on the things like, we're on the lookout for this person, they have a very distinct limp, and then nine of you have limps.
It's really, really very annoying. Anyway, we'd love for you to see the country.
I wish I didn't have a limp. Okay, but that doesn't count for anything.
No, we all have wishes. And one of your wishes should be to see the country through a hole in a box. We're going to make that dream come true using the power of the U.S. Post.
Oh, how exciting, Father. How How will it work?
Frederick? You're Frederick, right?
I don't even know anymore.
Right. Well, you'll just limp right over here. Daddy, we're going to spend the next week all constructing boxes out of pine.
Well, I just looked at how much pine we have, and I'm thinking about how cold it's about to get.
Mm.
We're going to need firewood, and the fences need mending. How many can we fit into one box? And what's the weight limit? They're all so thin. We're so poor. Oh, everyone is so poor.
Very fortunate that they're all so thin and
it's
easily compacted.
It's unfortunate that we're all so poor. Very fortunate that they're all so thin. Look, I just like... There was this thing last year where YouTubers were pretending to mail themselves or trying to mail themselves places.
Oh, is that so?
They were trying to put themselves in boxes and like go to FedEx and get themselves FedEx places.
Hilarious. What will the YouTubers do next, Anthony?
Literally anything. But this was a thing that I actually thought about when I was a kid. Did you ever imagine this when you were a kid?
Mailing yourself?
Yeah.
Well, when you watch the cartoons and then the suitcase like leaves and comes back instantaneously but has the stickers of all over the world on it.
Yeah.
That I thought that was pretty cool. I would be down for that.
I used to think about putting myself in a box with like some books.
Yeah.
And like being very quiet and like packing snacks and like mailing myself somewhere I'd never been.
Right.
And like I wonder if I could pull it off and like how would I do it? The problem that I always came up against as a child was I would need an adult to help me with this plan. Because once I was in the box, who brings me to the post office and who mails me?
You need little footholes in the bottom of the box.
I need some sort of like a cool adult.
Cool adult.
That would be cool enough.
/ unreliable.
Sure.
Not very.
I need literally the worst person. Yeah. But when I was a kid, I was like, I need to find the best adult. Or maybe like even a teenager.
Irresponsible.
Like if I had a friend who had an older brother or sister that was old enough,
yeah.
I'd be like, can you put me in a box?
Buy you beer? Is that what you meant? Buy you beer? I'll buy you beer, bro.
I had a sip of beer once and it made me want to throw up. What I need you to do is put me in a box and mail me to Paris.
Because there's wine in Paris. You want to get wasted? Though I could do that, bro. You don't have to go to Paris to get wasted. We can get wasted right here. It's all cool, man. I'll be the cool.
I don't know what a wasted is. I want to meet Babar and Asterix.
Mm.
I want to meet a Tintin.
All right.
I'm going to sit in this box, and I need you to take me to the post office.
Kid, you're weird, real weird, bro.
I think you are also weird, and somehow a little sad, but I can't figure out how. I don't have the means yet.
It's the drinking.
To Babar! You never thought about this. I used to think
no,
about
not
it.
Really.
But
no.
We also used to play the game where we would tape each other in boxes and roll the box down a hill.
That's a fun game. Is it called the Bruise My Face game?
Yeah, every game that we played was basically called the Bruise My Face game.
Yeah.
jumping off of high places with garbage bags and or umbrellas to see if we could feel any wind resistance.
Yeah.
Taping ourselves literally into moving boxes and then shoving those boxes down a hill and calling it riding a ride.
Riding a ride.
Yeah, it was like a ride. It was like a Disney ride.
Yeah, of course. It's a Disney ride of the poor.
The power of imagination.
It's an e-ticket.
How did these children not die?
Well,
why is there not a story of a child dying in one of these boxes?
That's a great question. The article talks about how a lot of people see this as evidence of sort of poor child rearing and bad parenting, but
people didn't know.
The writer of the article sees it as this really wonderful explanation of how postmasters were great people.
Yeah.
And that your local postman was sort of part of the community.
You could literally trust him with a child.
Exactly. And all these people did. They didn't think twice about it. They just said, here, take my kid where he needs to go.
Think of it less like putting a kid in a dark box for multiple days and more like calling your kid an Uber.
Right.
Here you go. You know, like it's putting your kid in a cab in New York.
This was the first
take my kid uptown.
Uber. Yeah, people do that all the time.
Yeah,
I think that's a really good analogy.
I think because it's like, look, we need to get you somewhere. We can't leave the farm, refinery, factory, mill, wherever we're slowly dying.
Yeah.
And so, like, look, I know Postman Johnson.
Right.
I know him.
He's a great guy.
He knows
comes to the house every day.
He grew up here along with me.
Right.
And so I'm gonna give you to him, and he'll take you across town today as part of his route.
Right. And that's kind of what this article is pointing out, is that these rural mail carriers oftentimes are the only people that visit these remote places every day. Like, these people don't get visitors.
And they literally come with presents and news and all these wonderful things. It's like, oh my gosh, the postman is here.
And they end up having...
Like in the Kevin Costner movie, The Postman!
Kevin Costner movie, oh my goodness, The Postman is here.
Oh my goodness, The Postman is here. Look, everyone, how happy we are.
It's post-apocalypse. But there's a lot of stories about how these people are the people that sometimes discover that someone passed away, or they will...
Oh, you just came in from Milford. What's going on in Milford?
Right.
Oh, here's what's up in Milford, and here's a letter for you.
Yeah, or someone is sick and by themselves in their house, and they're infirm, and they can't take care of themselves. The mail carrier comes to the house, and is
I'm going to tell old Doc Smith to come up here and and take a look at you.
Old Doc Smith gets in his DeLorean.
Old Doc Smith gets in... That's Doc Brown. Old Doc Smith gets in a box and mails himself...
Right.
To the house.
Yeah.
And he said, you show up to old Doc Smith's house, and he's put himself in a box and laid some stamps next to it.
Yeah.
Because his horse died, unfortunately. Yeah. And it's a sad thing. We all knew his horse. He was a lovely horse. Beautiful horse.
Well, that's because the...
It was all modeled and it was beautiful.
The veterinarian didn't mail himself in time to save the horse, sadly.
The postman Johnson comes up, and there's a little note by the stamps that says, mail me wherever I'm most needed. Love, Doc Smith.
Yeah, he puts a lot of trust in that postman to determine where he should be sent.
I fucking hate my mailman.
Do you?
Have I told you about this guy?
Our mailman is awesome.
Our mailman sucks. He's so angry all the time.
Well.
He's so angry and like, he won't say hi. And whenever we have whenever we have a package, he practically like kicks the door really loudly. Mm. He's one of those like, gung, 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 bing, 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 gung, 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 gung.
He's a gung, gung, bing,
bing. And it's just like, dude. Why are you giving me a panic attack? And then when I open the door, he's already fucking halfway to his truck. It's not like he's waiting for me to sign something. He's already halfway there, and I go, I'm like, thank you. I'm like a kill him with kindness guy.
Yeah.
And he literally like, he
if
basically-
If there's one thing I know about you, it's a kill him with kindness guy.
He basically flips me off.
Mm.
Like, he flips me off with his eyes. He's just, I don't know, he's the fucking worst. It's a long, we're a long way away from Postman Johnson, I'll tell you that.
That's too bad. My postman's name is Henry, and he is this kind of throwback dude. He knows everyone in the neighborhood. If you want to know something about what's going on, did that house sell? Oh yeah. Did somebody else move in? Is there a little kid? I saw a little kid wandering around. Oh, that's the.
I love that you just moved back in time to a fucking Saturday Evening Post cover.
Pretty much.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Guys, what's the weirdest thing you ever tried to mail?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know.
You want to mail a kid?
I would love to try to mail a kid.
I want
to
mail my kid now.
I wonder how far you would get, and how bad the punishment is for actually trying to mail yourself.
I think they take your kid away.
No. Like, if we tried, say, to mail me.
Right.
If we tried to mail me, how far do you think we'd get? And what would the punishment be for both of us? Because that's got to be illegal on so many levels now.
I think I have plausible deniability. You are literally inside the package.
Yeah, but who put me there and who took me to the FedEx?
I don't know. I wasn't around.
Yes, you were.
I was, but according to them, I'm not going to tell them I was around.
But you have to drop me off and pay for me. You're implicit.
So I'm on the camera?
You're on the camera and everything.
Damn it. Maybe
anybody tried this? And what's the weirdest thing you've ever tried to mail? I would love to know both of these things. You can let us know on Twitter. I'm at @acarboni.
I'm at Jeff Cannata.
And you can hashtag those Doc Smith. And hey, listen, guys, clash of concerns. It's a very real thing.
Yeah, and by real, we mean happening right now. You can vote for the best all-time We Have Concerns episodes right there on our website.
We're going month by month. Every week, we pick a new month of classic episodes, because I guess all the episodes are classic if you take the definition of classic being old.
Also amazing.
Also, every episode, without fail.
It's an instant classic.
These are hard choices for you guys, I'm sure, because they're all just so good. But anyway, the eventual goal is to come up with a top 10 for each year we've been a podcast, and then a top 10 overall.
Wow.
For the entire show. And that way, like, if you're just new to the show, or you have friends who are getting into the show, or you want to introduce somebody to the show,
that's how you do it.
You'll be able to go like, hey,
perfect,
these are the
list.
Ones. Yeah. Perfect list. So help us out. Go to wehaveconcerns.com, main page, scroll down to Clash of Concerns. New episodes to vote on every week.